Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
Coming up, Joanna Stern talks a little bit about Apple, what Apple needs to do to get some of that sizzle back. Also, Twitter. What does Twitter need to do to get you back tweeting? Coming up, Free For All.
You're listening to Free For All from the Wall Street Journal. Now, here's Jason Gay.
Hey, we are back here at the Free For All. I'm Jason Gay, joined as always by Jim Cherusmi. And with us in the studio, Joanna Stern, personal technology, P-Tech columnist for the Wall Street Journal. You didn't go to the Apple party.
No, I didn't.
Earlier in the week. It seemed like it was kind of a low-key affair. They did it at Cupertino, right?
Yep.
And they just introduced a small phone.
Tiny phone.
And a smaller iPad.
Tiny things.
And that was kind of it?
Tiny event for tiny things.
Listen, has Apple lost a little bit of the sizzle with these kind of events? Do they need to have one of these things where people kind of get their, you know, hair turned back every once in a while?
Yeah, this event was very odd. I don't know why they had an event for these tiny products, tiny in all ways, in many ways. If you ask me, if you think about how they started that event, where they were talking about the encryption debate and their war with the FBI, I think that's kind of why they wanted that event. But, you know, they took the first half of the event to, like, establish that Apple, and this is my broad analysis, is not a technology company.
Right.
And that is something that I think Tim Cook is pushing really hard behind the scenes. I think he's pushing his marketing people and his PR people to just, we need to stop being the iPhone company.
Mm-hmm.
Or what does the iPhone do for people? Because the first half of that event, for people that watched, it was about encryption and their want to remain true to people's privacy and be the advocates for security and privacy. And then they talked about the environment.
Yeah.
So their want to fight for this world and the world we live in.
Don't they have some dumb robot that like takes apart iPads or something like that?
Yeah, that's to save the world. That's what's his name? What is that guy's name? I forgot the name.
Archibald. Archibald the robot.
But yeah, he's all about like saving these parts.
So if they're not a technology company, what kind of company are they? Just, you know, a public concern? You know, they're just
I think they're trying to be this humanitarian, social justice, social good company, and that might strike with people. That really might strike with people.
It seemed to me that everything that they announced at this thing could have easily just been in a press release and posted online.
Yeah, there would have been a couple of press releases, but that's just.
Are those things fun? I know you've been to them in the past. Are they?
I love them.
They are. Why?
Yeah.
Why do you love them?
Free food?
No. Yeah, there is free food, but I usually don't eat the free food.
As a position, or you don't like the food?
I'm just usually like really nervous and busy and don't. I mean, I'm just.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean. They're exciting. That you know, there used to be a real secrecy and just a reveal, right?
Yeah.
You don't really feel that anymore.
Yeah.
But it's still, they still do a good way of, they do it in a good way. And there's such a formula to them now. Like, you know, you're going to make fun of Johnny Ive's video. You know, you're going to make fun of the presentation. I really go to make fun of things, I guess. But I mean, there's a real excitement to seeing the products unveiled for the first time. And, you know, especially on iPhone launch day, everyone wants that new iPhone. I mean,
how often are people shocked? Like, it seems now that there are more leaks than ever. It used to not really leak out, but mostly everything seems to get out.
Everything leaks out now. Yeah. But still, even with the iPhone 6 announcement, we pretty much knew everything, how it was going to look, what the specs were going to be. People are still really excited because they know they're going to buy that phone, right? And that's Apple's grasp on their consumers.
Yeah.
You are, and Jeff has written about this before, you're trapped into this thing.
Yeah.
You're probably not going to Android.
Yeah.
And so you're just like, oh, my battery's dying, my camera's not good, my screen is cracked, I'm waiting for that new iPhone. Oh, I'm going to get that 7, and then the day comes, it releases, you hear when you're going to be able to buy it, you can pre-order it. And so it just becomes sort of a ritual, you know? It's like the Super Bowl of tech events.
That's true. That's true. You know, I want to go to the big one. My contract is up in April, Jim, and I'm thinking I'm going to go big. I'm going to go to 6P? 6S? 6
seven.
Plus S? 7?
7.
What's 7 September, though?
iPhone 7. Yeah, September.
I can't wait that long. Let's talk Twitter. because you wrote about Twitter last week, and I've been wanting to talk to you about it because I have a lot of thoughts about Twitter, too. But Twitter's
and
on
Joanna
the
Joanna has a new avatar. I noticed her avatar.
And she's kissing a bird.
Or kissing a Twitter bird.
Yeah, she's kissing a Twitter bird. But you had some thoughts about how Twitter can, you know, increase its relevancy.
Twitter just celebrated 10 years.
10 years.
I know.
Which is sort of, some people, I felt it was sort of a melancholy anniversary because they kind of looked at their accumulated tweets and were like, huh. That was a lot of nothing. You know, it is a sort of sad thing to sometimes look at that you've tweeted many thousands of times.
And Twitter tweeted nothing.
No one's given you anything. You know, is this a correctable company? Is this a company, you know, or are we just sort of seeing a plateauing and eventual demise?
Yeah, it's a tough road for them. My approach with the story was I'm not normal. Yeah. I'm obsessed with Twitter. I look at it all the time. I work in media. I work in tech. I'm obsessed with it.
You use that as a news application. It is your lifeline to the outside world.
It really, and I'm just like obsessed. Yeah. I'm obsessed with myself. Yeah. You know how it is? You just like, you want to see what people are saying about your work. For journalists, that's really, you know, a huge part of how this is used.
But what does it do for you that Facebook and Instagram and Snap can't?
For me, I get to interface with a more public audience on Twitter.
Yeah.
Facebook's sort of become that, but Facebook is where I think I'm reaching people I know. Yeah. Some people obviously follow my feed, but more and more Facebook has become that. And that is the problem Twitter has. Yeah. I spoke to like 70 of my old Twitter followers. Right. I mean, I spoke to so many people.
It was like a High Fidelity where, you know, in the book High Fidelity goes back and he finds all his old lovers and he interviews them and says, where did we go wrong?
I'm John Cusack. I'm John Cusack.
Of Twitter.
Yeah.
And so,
I went back and all of these people basically just saying, you know, I've got LinkedIn to talk to my business people.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what's going on LinkedIn. I'm going to do a piece on LinkedIn.
Did any of them say it wasn't you, it's me?
They did. They said it wasn't me. They said, it's not your tweets. It's not your boring tweets. It's not your boring articles and your terrible videos. They said LinkedIn is for that.
Yeah.
And Facebook is for talking to my friends and talking to people I know.
Yeah.
Instagram is great for uploading photos, beautiful photos. Not a lot of people, obviously, in our demographic using Snapchat. But
What about Yik Yak? I was in Madison, Wisconsin at the University of Wisconsin, okay?
And
they're all Yik Yak. I was like, wait a second. Yeah. I need a Joanna Stern Yik Yak story now. Like, what's going on?
You know who'd really like that? Mike Miller.
Yeah.
His daughters or something are big on all people in college are big on Yik Yak.
Yeah.
We gotta do Yik Yak next.
Yeah.
What is Yik Yak?
It is anonymous, like, information sharing gathering spot that, you know, I guess it's like Anon Twitter that vaporizes a little bit, but
and I think it's like to share like things that are happening in a local area. Like, yes. I think that's why it's become so big on
college campuses.
Yes.
Exactly.
Oh, yes. It's like totally anonymous. Yeah. I'm now remembering. Yeah. I've opened the app and seen some terrible things happening at NYU.
Yes, yes,
Have you seen some terrible things?
This is what was a big deal in Wisconsin, that people were saying there was a lot of yapping on Yik Yak.
There was a lot
of
yik.
Unacceptable. A lot of yik on Yik Yak.
So, I mean, I love Twitter for news. I try to urge people to use it as a news feed tool.
Yeah.
But, you know. For many people, Facebook is good enough.
I have a big bone to pick with Twitter. I have two things. One is I feel like Moments is... I just feel like, you know, their curation of it has been disappointing. I find that they're basically playing low common denominator. I feel like they're going straight for the junk, the Kardashian.
That's true.
And they're not, you know, obviously in a day like yesterday where you had this, you know, international... you know, news in Brussels, there was some very compelling stuff that was part of Moments. But, you know, a good chunk of it is just nonsense. And the other thing that bothers me is that they're promoting feuds when people are, you know, going back at each other, sort of ad hominem on Twitter, which is one of the things I really don't like about it.
Right.
You know, and I've actually, like, I know people say, like...
Have you noticed, by the way, this is also, it's poorly designed, but they do put a lot of that sort of garbage here.
Yeah.
But if you swipe over... Have you noticed that? Have you known you could do that?
Yes.
You did. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, you can get away from,
Right. Why was Bill Murray at the Xavier Wisconsin game? I don't know.
That's a five-day-old story.
I know. That is old, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, their number one thing yesterday, I mean, wasn't number one, but was it the woman who pooped in her purse? I mean, I'm not kidding. Like, this was a big Twitter
Wait,
moment.
I missed that. I've just been working.
Is that under fun?
By the way, they know something because I read that to my wife and she thought it was the greatest thing she'd ever heard in her entire life.
I mean, that is amazing. Where do I get that story?
Does that go under
she
fun?
She didn't actually poop in the purse. I don't want to spoil it for you. But the other part of this is there's a real harassment issue on Twitter, which I can't escape. And I can't, like, you know, I've been fortunate to not be subjected to too much harassment. But I know in particular for many journalists that I know, and in particular women who cover sports, it is a huge part of the experience for them. And I'm not impressed with what Twitter has done so far to curtail it. It doesn't seem to have that much of an impact. And that seems to be driving people away as well. Do you think that they have a harassment issue? I mean, it's always been part of sort of social media, but it seems to be a big chunk of what Twitter's up to.
Is it this article, the woman hid her poop in her purse during a date?
Yes.
And lived to tweet about it?
I knew once I said poop and purse, like we lost Joe for the next 5 minutes. Do you want to read it? No. You don't want to
okay.
read it.
Okay. I was partially listening to your question. But
my question is,
really.
Is it, you know, does Twitter have a harassment problem?
Right. Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's – and that's part of what I was talking about before, right? The public nature of it versus Facebook is the biggest problem.
Yeah.
It's their biggest strength and it's their greatest weakness because when you look at – anyone can go sign up for an account on Twitter.
Yeah.
On Facebook, you've got to confirm who you are.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can make a fake account, but it's not as easy. Twitter, there's no barrier to entry. And so you've got tons of people on there who are complete trolls. And if they've been, you know, kicked off the service or banned or whatever it is, they can just come right back. And so there's a huge problem with that. There's a huge problem with just like you say you block that person, but they can still see all your tweets. So I've definitely had my fair share of certainly not as bad as many women, but I've had some very poor treatment on that service, and you just wonder what are you supposed to do about this?
Why is there a disincentivization for? I mean, is it just a numbers thing that they won't create some sort of certification or identity?
I think they are working on that. I think, and when you look at almost everything, you see that the company has sort of been in disarray for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
They thought they were riding really high because oh my God, everyone things break on Twitter and news breaks and celebrities, but they sort of ignored the core audience, which is the people on Twitter. And actually, their big thing is you can interact with Twitter now and you don't have to be in it, right? You can search and you get a tweet that pops up in Google that tells you the news. Why would I click to Twitter?
Yeah.
So they sort of really ignored the users. And I think that's why Jack Dorsey is apparently back to save the company.
Jack Dorsey and his very well manicured beard.
Yes. Jack wants you back is what I wanted the headline.
Jack does want me back.
Today.
I saw him on the Today Show. He's pulling out
all
the stops.
That's how bad he wants you back.
I keep thinking back to a tweet I read a long time ago when of someone who just joined Twitter who said, oh, so Twitter's just a lot of people watching TV, which sometimes is really what it feels
really,
like.
I mean, I open it during those times, and I said to people, like, you can open it just for that, you know?
Yeah. No, and actually, I've heard this coming out of the voices of some, maybe Adam Bain or some of these other folks at Twitter saying that, like, it is a shared viewing experience, Twitter, and maybe you are witness to history in sort of the ultimate scenario, or maybe you are just witness to the red carpet of the Grammy Awards or something like that. And that's what your Twitter experience will be. And that it probably is sort of the optimal Twitter
and that's
thing.
When people, I think, find like they've hit it big on Twitter, right? As if they tweet something that kind of goes viral or they've seen something that nobody else has seen.
Yeah.
That's the platform to put it on because it can go and hit a mass audience versus Facebook where, obviously something can go viral and it can be shared and it can be shared. But, it's going to first sort of hit your core audience of people in your life.
But that's what's funny about Twitter now is that there's also a rise in fake accounts. We see it in sports where there's like a heavy period where, teams are making moves and there's fake accounts that break fake news.
Is there a fake Joanna Stern? Have you had
Oh,
really?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
What kind of stuff does fake Joanna Stern put out?
Like fake reviews of stuff. My my old claim to fame was reviewing laptops and saying they weren't as good as the MacBook Air.
Right.
And so every time something comes out, he used to do that. But I don't think he's kind of slowed down. I'm trying to see if I can find Stern fan or something was like that. But it was like in my voice, you know.
It's kind of an honor.
It was really an honor. Yeah. I need more of those people.
Are the kids, do the kids care at all about Twitter? You know, I think of it, or were these just a bunch of grown-ups?
Actually, this is really fun. I thought about you over the weekend, Jason, because I got an email from a really angry reader.
Ooh.
And he didn't, actually, Gerard helped me find his phone number. And I don't have the guts to call him like you suggest in the book, in your book. But he was really angry. And my lead of the article was about this girl who's 24. And I said, this is Twitter's biggest problem.
Yes.
And, you know, she is not going back to Twitter, to be honest. And a lot of the people I spoke to are not going back to Twitter, despite my great article, of course. But this guy was like, no, actually, you are Twitter's biggest problem. And I'm trying to find the email, but he was amazing. I've never...
Did he have any affiliation to the company?
No, he was just one of the type.
Yeah.
Well, where he wrote, it's 1,500 words.
Did he mansplain you?
He does. I really want to find it.
I mean, the thing that I also hear out of Twitter, which is concerning, is the idea that people want these like curated feeds, like that they want to hear from like newsmakers and they want to have these kind of like, I don't know, like, you know, they're trying to cut down on the riffraff, it seems. And frankly, I kind of like the riffraff. Like, I like all the weirdos that I follow and the crackpots and the people who have funny jokes about very specific topics. Like, I don't want to hear the opinions. Like, the worst case scenario for me would be for Twitter to turn into some sort of simulacrum of cable news.
Right.
Where it was just a bunch of boobs sitting around a table giving me, you know, their, like, $300 an hour opinions. Like, I don't want that. Like, I want to hear from wackos. Like, I like that. Like, a certain helping of wackos with, you know, professional opinions.
The problem
and
is, it's like, I don't know where to find those people. I'm interested in what you're saying, but I don't know how to find those people.
Well, you probably don't even know who the wackos are in your life because it's all just one big
Right. Car. Well, I follow you, so that's one wacko. But what if I wanted
to
see more?
My life was wacko. You're just getting the, you know, the filtered opinions of an old dad.
But even it's like, it's actually a good point. Like, you are following some really cool people that probably make your life, your Twitter life better. They probably make your life better. But I don't know about those people. And like, I mean, I don't have this problem, but people that are new to the service, they don't know what to find. Yeah. They're just like, I followed people and it's boring, so I left.
Well, I did that Rescue Me program where I, you know, it tells you what you're clicking on, you know, on your phone and your...
Oh, yeah.
And one week it came in and it said, like, I spent 6 hours on Twitter and I wanted to kill myself. I mean, that's just insane.
Well,
like,
I'm going to forward you this email from this reader.
Week. Yeah.
Because that's what he's saying. He says to me, online living is a fantasy land. And you are Twitter's biggest problem. That's because you've confessed your obsession is unhealthy. And, then he really laces in here to me for living too much online. He says, I need to go to the, where is that great?
Yeah. We should call him on the show. That would have been great if we had just been able to call him on the show.
He says, I need to go. It's just so long. Like, it's so long.
Does he diagnose you and then offer suggestions for your future?
He says I should seek psychological help. It's in here. Hold on. Where is that?
Are you sure it's not a relative?
I'm pretty sure this is my wife. Here. Pay attention to what is going around you in the real world instead of in front of a screen trying to figure out what everyone else is doing. Get counseling if need be, but get offline and go hike a trail or help a neighbor. Go to a school board meeting and watch how they waste your money.
Yeah, that sounds like my wife.
Yeah. Right?
That is some mansplaining.
Mm-hmm. Panabars represents hope for society. May she never tweet again. Twitter, you are Twitter's biggest problem.
All right.
Take care, and I wish you well.
I'm very happy that we had you on Twitter's Biggest Problem, Joanna Stern. Thanks so much for being part of Free for All. I know you have a very important meeting with a very important technology company later on. You have about 11 minutes to get to it. Sorry to keep you here. Jim, who do you got
Sweet
going
16.
To the Final Four after
I think,
the weekend?
Well, Wisconsin could play Syracuse. They're on target to face each other.
Yeah, not going to happen.
I think it's going to be a rock chalk year.
Okay. So Kansas, North Carolina...
Oklahoma, watch out for them.
Yeah.
But you guys are going to watch a video, right?
We are going to watch this amazing video. And let me urge all of our Free For All listeners, the thousands of you across this great continent and planet, to go to Joanna's article. It's in front of the paywall. That's the kind of clout that Joanna has around here. It's in front of the paywall. Read this story. Learn about how your life may be transformed. But most importantly, watch the video. And see the great work of the brilliant Gerard, too. Thanks for joining the Free For All. This is Jason Gay.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.